thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you were to do an internet search for films with the word blessing in the title, you would get a grand total of 3. If you were to do the same for films with the word curse in the title, you would get hundreds of results. In fact, you'll get lists of films with the word curse in the title. Everything from The Curse of the Werewolf to Wallace and Gromit's Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Scary movie. Why is that? Why is there so much interest in the concept of the curse? Why is horror so popular? Why is it that scary really does sell? Why is that? Well, maybe it's how the idea of the curse is presented. It usually goes something like this. Everything's fine in the world. It's all hunky-dory. It's lovely. It's sunny. It's fine. Everything's just dandy. Then along comes the thing, the curse. And everyone is terrified. Nobody knows what to do. The curse is beyond control. But just when it seems all is lost, the curse is broken. The alien is vaporized. The giant spider is shot in the head with a nail gun. And the werewolf is sent off to the kennel club for dog training classes. And we can all live happily ever after. It seems that many people don't mind being entertained by the idea of the curse. Because, well, it's not real, is it? It's fiction. And because it's fiction, the curse is always going to be broken. So it's fine, we can relax. But what if the curse wasn't just a fictional notion? What if there really was something called the curse? And what if the curse really was actually beyond our control? And what if the horror of the curse wasn't something that went away? And what if it was real? And we were all under that curse. And what's more, we were blissfully unaware of it. Now, that really would be a horror story, wouldn't it? Let's read God's word. Galatians chapter 3, from verse 10. And it says this. Galatians 3, verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's us, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Wonderful. The law, love, and liberty. That's my 3 points this evening. First, the law. Three things about the law that are painfully clear in this passage of Scripture and apply and have applied to every single person on this planet, no exceptions. Number one, if you rely upon your ability to keep God's law, you are under a curse. Verse 10, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Number two, if you trust in your own efforts to please God, but don't fulfill every command and demand of God's law perfectly throughout your whole life, you are under a curse. Verse 10, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. And number three, nobody has ever, will ever, can ever be made right with God, what the Bible calls justified, by trying to keep the law. Verse 11, clearly, no one is justified before God by the law. What's the law that's referred to here? It's not the law of the land. It's the law of God, the perfect law of God. That law that's summarized in the Ten Commandments, found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. The same law that was given by God through Moses, the man of God, to the people of God. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 28 to 30, Moses spells out more fully the law of God, including incredible blessing, amazing, mind-blowing blessing for the people of God for their obedience, but horrific curses for disobedience. And Moses' final appeal to the people of God before they enter the promised land is summarized in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, when he says, "See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil." And he also says, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life." Choose life. Why would you choose anything other than life? Why would you choose anything other than the blessing of God? But as we see, as the story of the chosen people unfolds, it turns into a tragic tale of disobedience, followed by disaster, decline and decay, and the full depth of their rejection of God and God's law is fully revealed in the rejection and crucifixion of the Messiah. The chosen people condemned the chosen one. And the Gentiles too played their part. By his own admission, Pontius Pilate found no charge against Jesus. Yet he sentenced an innocent man to death. Roman soldiers mocked Jesus. They spat on him, pulled out his beard, flogged, scourged, and beat him, and finally nailed him to a cross. Jew and non-Jew alike are lawbreakers. And therefore, under the curse of the law. What is a curse exactly in biblical terms? What does it mean to be under the curse of the law? The curse referred to here is the full weight of the penalty for disobedience to the law of God. It means to be judged guilty and assigned to destruction, to be doomed with no hope of escape, condemned, cut off from God, and all that is good. That's the curse. It's impossible to think of a more desperate and despairing and a more hopeless and desolate condition than that. I cannot think of anything more desolate, more hopeless than being under the curse of the law. To be judged by the perfect law of God. To be found completely guilty on all counts, with no excuse, no alibi, and no means of escape. This is the condition before God of everyone who has not repented and turned to Jesus Christ for salvation. If you are a Christian tonight, that was your condition before you came to Jesus. The law itself is not the curse. The law of God is good, it's perfect. In fact, Psalm 19 and verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, and it has power to revive the soul. That's the law of God. It's wonderful. David delighted in the law of God. It's a wonderful thing. And yet, we broke God's law. We've sinned. We've lied. We've stolen. We've dishonored our parents. We did not honor God as God. If someone tried to argue, well, come on, give me a break, cut me some slack. What does God expect? I'll tell you what God expects. God is perfect in all his ways. His law is perfect. His ways are perfect. His word is perfect. He is perfect. And what does he expect? Perfection. And he has every right to expect perfection from his creatures, for he had made them, created them in such a condition to be worshippers. James 2:10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles on just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Now, let's come up for some air. You'd be forgiven for thinking to yourself, well, what's the point of the law? What's it for? All it seems to do is condemn and curse and crush. Well, it's not God's law that's the problem. It's our complete inability to keep it due to our sinful hearts. That's the problem. As someone once said, at the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And the whole purpose of the law is to show us the perfection of God. Does that delight you this evening? That God is perfect? That's what the law is for. The law is also given to awaken us. To awaken us to how completely sinful and hopeless we are. Another reason for the purpose of law. The purpose of law was given to bring us, to drive us to Jesus. You will only be driven to Jesus. You will only come to Jesus if you first understand that you're a lawbreaker. You're under His curse. Nothing that you can say or do or manufacture with your hands or in your heart or your mind, no matter what level of righteousness you may attain, it will never be good enough, because God demands perfection. That can drive you two ways. It can drive you to despair, or it can drive you to the Savior. Where is it driving you tonight? God's not only a righteous and holy God who must judge and condemn sin. He's a loving God. Now, that doesn't mean that He overlooks sin. It doesn't mean that He winks at sin. It doesn't mean to say that He says, "Oh, well, I'm so loving that it doesn't actually really matter that you're a sinner." No. Doesn't mean that at all. God is holy, and He is just, and He is loving. So how do we reconcile that? He is perfect. He is holy. He is a perfect judge who must judge sin, and He is loving. How on earth can we reconcile those two things? They are reconciled in Jesus. For God so loved. He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, being under the curse of the law, but have eternal life. Love. Christ redeemed us. He freed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus bought us by His blood. He bought us back from the brink of eternal disaster by becoming a curse for us instead of us in our place. Can we even begin to plumb the depths of that this evening? Or has it become so blasé that it just runs off our back like water off a duck's back? Christ became a curse for us. God's own word, God's own law says it. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23. Anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. God wrote that 1400 years before Jesus came. God wrote that, knowing that Jesus, His Son, would be hung upon a wooden cross. And He wrote, anyone who is hung on a tree is cursed by God. Does God love you? Has He planned to love you? Has He thought about you for millennia and thought of a way out from under the curse? Yes, of course he has. Let's remind ourselves what the curse is in application to Jesus becoming a curse for us. The curse is the full weight of the penalty of the law of God. It is to be judged guilty and assigned to destruction, to be doomed with no hope of escape, to be condemned, to be cut off from God and all that is good. Christ became a curse, took that upon himself for you, for me, for us, for sinners. Think about this for a minute. Please think about it. Think about how unbearable it is for one sinner to suddenly become aware of all that, all that the curse is. For that one person to think about that and to suffer such a crushing burden as a realization comes upon him that that is what they are under. Think about that one person. Think of that one hell-deserving, guilty sinner. Imagine the horror, the sense of complete desolation and terror of condemnation. And imagine that becoming a reality. Now take that and multiply it by the number of every law-cursed sinner that ever lived or ever will live. God the Father took that, all of that, the guilt and the shame, the law-cursed life of every person that ever lived, and laid it all on his Son. Can we plumb this? Can we think of this? Can we grapple with this? Your curse, my curse, our curse, the multitudes of millions upon the Son, upon the cross. You know, we often think of the physical sufferings of Jesus, which were intense and immense. They were huge, they were horrific. But what we're talking about right now is the emotional and the mental and the spiritual sufferings of Jesus. That he became a lightning rod for the wrath of the Father against sin, your sin, my sin. And Jesus cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can we fully understand that cry? Probably not. But we can begin to understand it when we realize that on the cross, Jesus became a curse for us. And to be cursed is to be judged guilty and appointed to destruction, doomed to death with no hope of escape, cut off from God and all that is good. Jesus was inflicted with pain and punishment as a lawbreaker in your place and in mine. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this evening? In your heart of hearts, do you believe it? Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless wee, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement? Well, can it be that we're made right with God? Hallelujah! What a Savior! Lastly, liberty. Liberty. What does it mean? Freedom. It means freedom. He redeemed us. What does it mean? It means freedom. He redeemed the people of God from Egypt. What did it mean for them? It meant freedom. How did they come out? They come out under the canopy of the covering of the blood of the Lamb. They were freed. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to us through Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Two things. The blessing of Abraham. What's that? Tell me. He redeemed us that we may receive the blessing given to Abraham. What is the blessing given to Abraham? Righteousness by faith. To be made right with God by believing. Only by believing. Wow. What's righteousness? Righteousness. Rightness. Rightness with God. Not just any old righteousness, not any kind of righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ is now accounted to us. Our curse was accounted to him absolutely and fully. He became a curse. Now, his righteousness is fully accounted to us. In the same way, a divine exchange. That should at least give you a wee smile. That should at least make your heart sing in his presence. I'm made right. The righteousness of Jesus now accredited to us. And so here it is. And so it follows that all the blessing promised to a perfect law keeper by the perfect law maker are given fully and freely to the unrighteous law breaker who believes. Hallelujah! Who is the perfect law keeper? Only one. And what did Moses lay down for blessing? The basis for blessing was obedience and perfection. We failed miserably. And here he is, the perfect law keeper. And the blessings promised to a perfect law keeper by the perfect law maker are given to us. As a free gift from God, unrighteous law breakers. If we believe, if we only but believe, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know why? Because condemnation is to do with being under a curse. Christian, do you ever feel condemned by God? Do you ever feel condemned by God? You struggle with it. Condemnation is to do with a curse, a judgment, a punishment for sin. God will never, never, ever condemn you as a Christian. Ever. Ever. Because he condemned his own son upon the cross when he became a curse for you. It would be unjust for God to condemn you if he has already condemned his own son. No condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. What a Savior. You're not a Christian tonight, and you feel under the condemnation of God. Let me tell you, that is a blessing to you. Take it as a blessing. If you are not a Christian, you are under the horror of the curse. To be unaware of it is infinitely worse than being aware of it. For when you are aware of it, you can come to Jesus. And you can have him deal with that condemnation in your life. How? By believing. It is by grace you're saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. The gospel is about freedom. The love of God. No longer under the curse. No longer separated from God. Jesus took what you deserved. He took your condemnation. And he gives us what we don't deserve. Forgiveness, grace, righteousness, life, blessing. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This evening, we draw this to a close this evening. Just as Moses all those centuries ago stood before a people and pronounced blessing and curse upon them and gave them the choice and implored them to choose life and blessing rather than curse, we know how the story unfolded. But this evening, I'm speaking to you, Christian and non-Christian alike. What's your choice going to be? If you don't know Jesus, you are already under that curse. Judgment awaits. I have to tell you. But Christ took your judgment. He paid for your sin. Choose life. You say, oh, I'm not sure about making a choice this evening. You already have made a choice. Because you're staying in your sin. And you're staying under the curse. The choice you have to make is to choose Christ. Choose life. Choose blessing. And Christian too. Come on, where is our joy? Where is our perseverance under trial? Where is the life-giving, overflowing, abundant life that Jesus promised? It's found in believing the gospel of Jesus. Right there. Died for me. I'm his. He's forgiven me. I'm no longer under any grain of condemnation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am justified, freed, loved beyond my wildest imaginations. If that doesn't do something, then we don't believe it. If we're still walking about under condemnation, under a cloud, and a miserable as sin Christian, we haven't believed it. Believe on him and you shall be saved. We're going to sing a wonderful hymn to close this evening. Ask the band to come. Man of Sorrows. What a name. For the Son of God who came. Oh, this evening, before you leave this place, do business with God. If you do not know Jesus, I implore you, I beseech you, make a decisive step this night before you leave this building and you make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Don't leave that to chance. Don't think, oh, the good stuff will outweigh my bad stuff. No, we've seen it in God's Word. You're under a curse. We've fallen. We've failed. That's bankrupt. The only way is to turn to Christ. Lord, is there room for me, a sinner? Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Father, this evening, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that you sent Jesus. If you hadn't sent Jesus, we'd be lost and under the horror of the curse now and forever. Lord Jesus, you came perfect, sinless, and you took our sin and our shame and you became a curse for us. Cut off, condemned, judged guilty. The full weight of the penalty of the law. The wrath of the Father upon you. You took our place, Jesus. You took our place. Thank you just seems so inadequate, Lord. So we give you our lives. We give you our lives afresh and anew this night. We say, here we are, Lord. We have been bought with a price. We're yours. Take us. Do with us what you will. Glorify yourself in our lives, whatever way you will. We belong to you. Let's stand together. And as we're singing this, let's do business with God. Let's open up our hearts. Believe what we're singing. Engage with God. Open your heart and let him in. Let him flood you. Flood you with his love. And pour out his Spirit upon you. In Jesus' name.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.